says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" Let's pray. Father God, we honor you today. We magnify you in this place, O Lord. We exalt you today, Father. We thank you for your presence here with us. We thank you for the great day you gave us, God. We thank you for being you, Lord. You alone are worthy of our praise, our adoration, and our worship, O Lord. Blessed be your holy name. I thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your presence here with us today, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful time of worship we had, Lord. Thank you for just thank you. We can never thank you enough for how great you are. Father, we ask your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be in control of this service today, Father. I pray, Father, that you allow my thoughts, my ideas, my agenda to decrease, Lord. And I want you to increase, Father. I know I have notes and I have a plan, Lord, but I want your plan to take precedence over everything. So, Father, we come expecting to receive something from you today, Lord God, because we know you have something that you want to share with us. So, Father, I pray that you take complete control over every word that is spoken today, over every word that is heard today. Let it all be done to the glory of you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for giving us Mother's Day for us to celebrate what mothers have done for us throughout history. Thank you so much, Lord, for all that you are. Thank you for all that you've done, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you were in Sunday school this morning, we talked about service in Sunday school. In our class, which wasn't by my design, because God gave me this message before I knew what we'd cover in Sunday school. So, obviously, He has a plan for today. But to me, I find it fitting that God has us talk about service on Mother's Day, because really, that's what a mother is a servant. A mother serves her family. Mother serves her children. I mean, you tote these kids around in your belly for 40 weeks like a parasite. There's no more amount of service than that, you know? And that's just the beginning of it, because as we know, mothers serve for as long as they have kids. They're serving their kids. I mistakenly, when I was growing up, I always thought, you know, it'd be great when you know, get married and have kids, it'll be great when the kids are grown and out of the house, because then we don't have to be parents anymore. Then we get to have fun and enjoy our life, and they'll be on their own and they'll do their own thing. And how wrong I was. Because I was an idiot. Let's just be honest about it. Because you never stop being a parent. You know, we have some young parents here. Let's just be honest. You never really stop being a parent. You know, you still, you know, when they're little kids, you're having to, you know, cook them food and make sure that they eat and make sure they take a bath. And then when they get older, you have to work on their car. You have to help them with a leaky faucet, and you have to do all this kind of stuff. And we're always serving. And we as believers should be easy for us to understand that, because that's part of the Christian faith, is to serve. Because serving is an expression of love. Think about it. You wouldn't serve somebody you don't love. Because there would be no joy in it. There would be no reason to. So serving is an ultimate expression of love. And we see that because Jesus served us. All he did was serve. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, he said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. He was a servant by heart, servant by nature. But what I love about Christ is not only did he live this, not only did he set an example through his everyday life of serving his followers, serving the Father, but he even set time aside to specifically make an example of service for us. John chapter 13 talks about how he washed the feet of the disciples. And even when he gets to the end of it, he even tells them point blank, I did this as an example to you of how you should serve one another. Because we as believers are called to serve. One of the few things that is expected of us as believers is to serve one another and to serve the Father. But serving's not always fun, is it? You know, when you're a mother, serving's not always fun. It's not fun when you're, you know, wiping snotty noses and cleaning up vomit out of the carpet because your kid ate too much ice cream because the dad let him eat too much ice cream. So it's not fun when you're doing that because, I mean, that stuff smells bad. You smell vomit, right? It's just gross. But you do that because you love your family. You love your kids and you serve them. And you do those things out of love. And that's how Jesus served, was out of love. So we as believers are expected to serve out of love as well. Galatians chapter 5 verse 13 says, You have been given freedom now, or you are free, but don't use your freedom as an opportunity to sin, but use it to serve one another in love. Okay, so we're called to serve each other. And as we read in Luke 10, the story of Mary and Martha, Martha gets kind of a bad rap because she's serving, right? Because she complains about having to serve and how Mary's not serving like she is. But if you look at the context, she's serving out of love. Because in verse 38, I believe it says that she invited Jesus into her house. So this wasn't something that he just come barging in. No, she knew she welcomed him into her house. So she was serving him out of love for him. Just like mothers do. But one problem that Martha had was that she didn't quite understand that there's a time for serving and there's a time for sitting. There's a time for doing things for God. There's a time for spending time with God. And there's a very delicate balance there that we need, as believers today, we need to understand. Because Mary understood it. Remember in Mark chapter 14 talks about how Mary was the one that broke the box of oil over the feet of Jesus and anointed his feet. Remember? But some of the disciples got mad and said, why did she waste all of this? We could have sold this. We could have fed the poor and we could have done all these great things. But what Jesus said? He said, no, she understands. She's anointing me for my burial. He says, the poor you'll have with you always. But right now, he's saying, right now, I need to be anointed for my burial. Because he knew the time was short. When we read about Mary and Martha in Luke 10, Mary understood that the time she had with Jesus was short. There'll be times for service anytime. There'll always be somebody that needs to be served. There'll always be somebody that we can serve. But there are times when we need to just sit at his feet and just enjoy his presence. Because think about it. The creator of the universe wants you to just spend time with him. That's a lot to wrap your head around. The creator of the entire universe, the creator of heaven and earth, wants to hang out with you. Put it in our language today. He wants to hang out with you. And the great thing is, you have the opportunity to do that. He's not one of those guys that just has office hours that you have to talk to him between 9 and 5 Monday through Friday, right? No, anytime that you're available, he's available. How wonderful is that? He serves us by being available to us so that we can spend time with him, so that we can enjoy his presence, so that we can sit at his feet like Mary did, right? He says you'll always have times where you can serve, and you should serve, but he says you need to understand that there's times when you serve and there's times when you sit. That's a lot of mothers struggle with this of knowing when to serve, when to be busy, and when to sit, right? How many mothers struggle when you feel like you need to just sit and just relax for a minute, sit and spend some time with the Lord, but all that goes through your head is all this list of things that need to be done, right? Oh, I could be getting so much more done if I wasn't just sitting here, if I wasn't just sitting at the feet of Jesus, then I could get laundry done, I could get dishes done, I could get this done, I could get this done, I could get this done. But we need that. We need to sit at his feet. We need to spend time with him, right? Hebrews chapter 4 talks about entering the rest of God, how he's designated a time of rest, and how it's good for us. It's to our benefit to spend time resting at the feet of Jesus. So I want to encourage you as mothers, as believers, you have to have some time that you sit at the feet of Christ. You have to some time that you spend enjoying his presence. And when you do that, the serving part goes a lot better afterwards anyway. You know, because if you ever notice when you're busy and busy and busy, you start to get tired, you start to get wore down, and all of a sudden it takes you longer to do things than it normally would, or you're not able to do them as well because of fatigue and because of you're exhausted. But if you spend time with him, ultimately it all gets done quicker that way. But it's very difficult for us to do, especially even us as believers. We think, oh, you know, I have to be busy, I have to be serving, I have to be doing, and we do. But we have to have time where we sit and where we enjoy his presence, where we sit and we fellowship with other believers, where we sit, where we disciple other believers, where we allow ourselves to be discipled by other believers. It's a delicate balance that we have to understand, that we have to recognize. You know, Ecclesiastes says there's a time and a season for everything, right? There's a time to serve and there's a time to sit. There's a time to be doing and there's a time to be receiving. There's a time to serve others and a time to let others serve us. It is very, very difficult for a lot of people to let somebody else serve them. But I want to encourage you, if God is trying to work somebody to serve you, let him do it. Because if you don't, you're taking a blessing away from them by not allowing them to do what God has called them to do. And it is, I know it's very hard to let somebody else do something for you sometimes. But we're in this together, right? We're all supposed to build each other up and encourage each other and edify one another. And part of that is allowing each other to serve, allowing others to serve us, to serve one another. But see, we make the mistake. Well, let me back up. We usually fall in one of two camps. Usually when somebody gets saved and they join the church, either they always stay busy doing something or they don't do anything at all. And usually it's one extreme or the other. But we have to have that balance. You know, it's like Pastor always says, we have to keep the bubble in the middle, right? We have to serve, but we have to sit. We have to be active, but we have to be receiving at times too. So I encourage you, if you can't think of a way that you're serving right now, ask God to show you where you can serve. Because we all have a part to play. We all have a job to do in this. We all have something we need to be doing. Last Wednesday night in our service, we were talking about all the spiritual gifts the Bible talks about, how like Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 talk about the different spiritual gifts, and one of those gifts is the gift of service. So some people say, well, I have the gift of service, so I got to always be serving. But even if you don't have the gift of service, we still should serve. In some aspect, in some capacity, we have to serve one another. So if you're not serving now, I encourage you to find somewhere to serve. And the great thing is there's no list of qualifications to serve. It doesn't matter if you've been in God's family 50 seconds or 50 years. God has something He needs you to do. God has something that if you don't do it, it won't get done. Plain and simple. So whatever it is that God is calling you to do, I want to encourage you to just take that step and do it. Now, a lot of times we struggle, especially new believers struggle, with wanting to know, what am I supposed to do? I don't know what my calling is. I don't know what my job is. I don't know what God wants me to do. Number one, I can encourage you that James chapter 1 says that if you don't know what to do, simply ask God. He gives generously. He doesn't scold you for asking. If you need help, ask Him for help. If you need help understanding what you're supposed to do, ask Him for help what you're supposed to do. And listen. And you'd be amazed at what He tells you and what He shows you. But don't make the mistake of taking yourself out of the game while you wait for Him to tell you. Find someone that you can serve today. Once you get started serving, once you get started moving, once you get started doing this, God will show you where your calling is. God will show you what your position is, what your job is in the kingdom. You ever notice how when you're trying to teach your kids to ride a bicycle, you know? And you ever notice that the faster the bicycle moves, the more stable it is? Because if you try to just jump on it and start off real slow, it's real wobbly, right? So the faster it's moving, the more stable it is. Our service is the same way. If we get busy and we just pick something and just start serving, then it's easier for God to show us. You know, it's easier if you just jump in and say, hey, I'll be an usher. I don't know if I'm supposed to be an usher or not, but if you need ushers, I'll be an usher. And you keep dropping the bag of money, then maybe that's not your calling. But God's gonna show you, hey, this is not where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be over here, right? Hey, let's be honest. Sometimes that money can get heavy, right? Because you get the little kids, they throw the change in there and the bag gets heavy and, you know, those handles can get slippery. It's okay. It's not a big deal, okay? Don't feel bad if you drop the money, But just be involved. And the great thing, you know, now we have our chairs split to where we have just one aisle in the middle. So you don't even have to go across the aisle with your bag. All you do is just grab it from here and move it over here. Grab it here and move it over here. If you ever see, look, this is all that ushering takes, is doing this. Okay? So if you can do this, you can be an usher, right? So look at there, see? I can do it with both hands at the same time. Look at there. So if you struggle knowing which hand is your right hand or your left hand, if you look at it like this, your left hand makes an L. Your right hand, the L is backwards. So this is your right hand, okay? So If you can find your right hand and you can stick it out and you can move it up and down, you can be a door greeter. Looky there, see? That's all it takes. Just stick your hand out there and move it up and down. Now, from what I've been taught, a standard handshake is two, up and down twice, and then let go, okay? Don't latch on. Don't be, you know, you got to learn to let go, okay? So, look, now, look, just in that short time, you're now certified to be an usher, and you're certified to be a door greeter, okay? We'll have your certificates in the back so that you can go ahead and sign up and say, I'll do this, okay? So, this isn't rocket surgery, people. We have to just do something, okay? You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to say, oh, I haven't been in the church. I haven't been a church member for a full year, so I can't do anything yet. No, we need to be busy. We need to be serving. We need to be doing. Why? Because like I said before, you end up with some people that have the gift of service that, hey, if you need something, you say, hey, we need volunteers, their hand's the first one up, right? And you get people that end up doing a lot of things. Those people, a lot of times they end up getting burnt out because they feel like they're having to do everything. And how come nobody else is helping? And they get frustrated and a lot of bad things happen, right? So the more people are involved, the higher number of people that are involved, the less each has to do, right? So what's the saying? Many hands make light work. So it's the same thing in the church. It's the same thing in the kingdom of God. The more people that are involved, the less burden upon each one of what needs to be done. So I want to encourage you, if you're not doing something, just do something. So, you know, find one of, you know, one of our door greeters, one of our ushers, or, you know, one of us deacons and say, hey, I want to help. What can I do to help? And we'll put you in, and you know, we'll take you to somebody and get you somebody that you can help and you can serve. And because we serve to serve others and to serve Christ, but we end up getting blessed by it anyway. You don't think about it. We may not get paid, quote unquote, in money, but we get blessed much more than you could ever imagine through serving one another. Through serving the Lord, because as we serve each other, we're ultimately serving Him, aren't we? We do it out of a love for Him. We do it out of gratitude for what He's done for us. So doing it for other people, it may seem like we're not getting any benefit out of it, but we get more benefit out of that than we would if we were getting paid for it. So we need to be busy. We need to be doing. Because Jesus, our example, was a servant. He was a servant by nature. He was a servant as an example to us. But as we know, the Bible says that He often withdrew from everybody to pray and to spend time with the Father. So if He's our example, then we should be doing the same thing He did, right? So if He served, we should serve. If He rested, if He withdrew from everybody, and if He spent time with the Father, then we should spend time with the Father as well. So that's just as important as serving. Because if you think about it, when we do that, we're kind of serving ourselves, aren't we? That's how we're recharging our batteries so that we're able to serve. With love, we're able to serve with gratitude. We're able to serve. It becomes less of a chore and more of a love the more time we spend with the Father, right? So the Bible tells us a lot. Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 2, Mark chapter 3, Luke chapter 5, on and on and on and on. It tells us where Jesus withdrew from the multitudes, is how the New Testament puts it, withdrew from the disciples and spend alone time with the Father. That is what Mary was doing in Luke chapter 10. She was spending alone time with Jesus. That's what we need to be doing on a regular basis. We need to spend time with the Father. We need to spend time in His presence. Not coming to Him to ask Him for stuff. Not, you know, just to put in today's sermons, just hang out with Him. Just spend time with Him. And the more we do that, the more we're able to hear His voice, the more we're able to understand His Word, the more everything else falls into place. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, He said, or chapter 6, He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, right? Everything else will fall into place after that. But focus on your personal relationship, your intimacy level with Jesus Christ, and everything else will work itself out, okay? So too many times we want to focus on actions, on the external, on what we need to do, what we need to not do, how we can improve our behavior, how we can stop doing the bad things and do the good things. And we want to focus on all this external stuff. But He says if we focus on the internal, if we focus on spending time with Him, sitting at His feet and just enjoying His presence, that will improve us on the inside, and the outside will take care of itself. Too many times when we have new people come in the church, new believers get saved, we say, oh, great, we're welcome to the family, we're so glad, you know, all of heaven's rejoicing you're here, that you got saved, wonderful, this is great. Now here's what you need to do. Stop doing this, stop doing this, stop doing this. You need to sign up for nursery. You need to sign up for door greeting. You know, you need to sign up and do this. You need to work the coffee bar at least once a month. You need to do this. And then we start giving this whole big list of stuff. And what happens? Most of them, I can't do all that. And then we lose them, right? They say, nobody told me that the Christian life was about do this and don't do this. We, the church, has dropped the ball. We have made it about things, about checklists, about doing what we're supposed to do, not doing what we're not supposed to do, telling people, do this, don't do this. But it needs to be about love. Everything needs to be about love. Our love for God, God's love for us, our love for one another. When somebody new comes in the family, somebody gets saved, hey, love you, we're glad you're here, welcome to the family of God. All of heaven's rejoicing that you're here. Great. Let's spend time with God. You know, even in the Old Testament, in the nation of Israel, when men got married, the first year of their marriage, they were exempt from military service. They were exempt from all this other stuff so that they could spend time with their new wife, and they could spend time and they could get to know Him, right? We need to be the same way with God. When we get saved, believe it or not, when we get saved, we essentially get married to God, right? Revelations calls the church the bride of Christ. So when we get saved, we need to spend time with Him. It sounds so cliche to talk about the Christian life as a relationship, but it really is. You know, we're not just saying that to sound trendy or cool or whatever, but it really is a relationship with Jesus Christ. So for any relationship to survive, you have to have communication, don't you? You have to spend time together, right? But any marriage, a husband and wife serve one another, don't they? And it's not a service because of obligation. It's a service out of love, isn't it? I love you. I love you so much, I want to make your coffee for you in the morning because I just want to do something for you that I know you enjoy, that I know that will help you out. So I'm doing this because I love you. And this is an expression of my love to you, right? That's why we do these things. If we get to where we're expecting, to where we get mad if our spouse doesn't make our coffee in the morning, then we're getting outside of what our relationship should be, right? So everything needs to be driven by love. The Bible's very clear that love is the ultimate motivator for all of Christianity, for all of the Christian life. Love is the ultimate motivation. The love that God has showed towards us is the only reason we have this faith. It's the only reason we're eligible for it right in the first place, right? Because God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, right? The verse the first verse everybody memorizes. For God loved us so much that He gave. we love Him, so we give of ourselves, we give of our time, we give to spend time with Him, we give to serve Him, we give to share what He's done for us, we give because of the love we have for Him, because of the gratitude for what He has done for us, right? So it all comes down to understanding the priorities of it, understanding where everything fits. Like Ecclesiastes says, there's a time and a season for everything. We have times where we serve, we have times where we sit and where we allow others to serve us. We have times where we sit and we enjoy God's presence. We have times where we share with people all the great things God has done for us. There's times where we listen to somebody tell us the same testimony they've told us over and over and over again. We still listen. We get excited for them. We're still happy that they're happy about what God's done for them, right? We have times in our life that we enjoy Him. There's times that we talk about Him. But we have to be careful. We have to keep the balance, right? Because Galatians chapter 6 warns us, says, don't get weary in all your well-doing and all your good-doing, because if you don't faint, you will. The Old King James says, you will reap if you faint not, right? So if we don't get burnt out, if we don't give up on it, if we keep the balance, if we keep everything in balance, then everything will stay the way it's supposed to be. But if we put too much, if we get too much to one side, just like on that bicycle, if you lean too much to one side, you're going to fall over. If you lean too much to the service side of your relationship, or if you lean too much to the sitting and not enough serving, your bicycle is going to fall over. So we have to keep the balance. We have to keep it in the middle. But we have to keep it moving. The more we move, the more we grow, the more we mature in our walk with Christ, the easier it is to keep that balance. Because that's how it goes. That makes it easier on us. So as we look to see where we can serve, as we look at our life today and we say, you know what, I haven't been serving like I should have been. Or maybe you look at your life and say, I've been serving too much. I've been stealing blessings from somebody else by taking their job, by taking their position, by doing what they're supposed to do. We need to examine ourselves. Can't imagine how dry my mouth gets when I stand up here and talk. I guess because I normally don't talk a whole lot, because at my job I don't have to talk to people. And, you know, at home I have a wife and two kids still in the house. So they do all the talking at home and I don't have to talk. So when I stand up here and talk, my mouth gets really dry. So, because I'm not used to it. But it's funny, when I pick Jacob up from school, he's like, from the time he gets in the truck to the time we get home, he's just talking and just talking and talking and talking. Everybody, when people meet him, they're like, you know, he's so quiet. Like, no, just wait. He's like a freight train. He's a little slow getting started, but once he gets going, you can't shut him up. Because he'll be like, hey, Dad, I have a question. Like, yes, son. On the way to church this morning, hey, Dad, I have a question. Yeah. Why do horses wear shoes? I don't know. Keep their feet warm. I don't know. I'm not some horseshoe expert. So I said, remind me after church and we'll find out why horses wear shoes. Because I don't know why horses wear shoes. Oh, okay. That's easy enough. Hey, Dad, I have another question. It only takes us 10 minutes to get from our house to here. And it's like nonstop. So I have a question. I have another question. Okay. Won't you write them all down, and then we'll cover them later. So I don't have to talk a whole lot. So when I stand up here and talk, I get really dry. So but this is part of my service. even though I don't really enjoy talking a lot. I'm usually not very good at talking. I want to be better at talking. I want to be good at talking, but I'm not. And I've accepted that. But I try to get better. So it's, people tell me, oh, you know, I really enjoy it when you speak, right? You know, Sunday school, I really enjoy your Sunday school class. And I'm thinking, well, you know, it's not near as good as you think it is, but I'm just stuck. You know, I'm doing what God's called me to do, what He asked me to do. I didn't ask for it. I didn't say, God, you know, I want to be the guy that stands up there and everybody has to stare at for an hour and a half on Sunday morning. No, but this is the service that He's given to me to do. So this is what I do, even though I don't feel qualified to do it by any means. I don't feel I could do a very good job doing it, just to be completely honest with you guys. But I remind myself of all that Jesus has done for me, and all he just asked me to do this one little thing. Hey, can you stand up there and just turn your brain off and let me talk through you for an hour and a half, and everything will be fine. So okay, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. So that's what I do. Thankfully, we have a very dependable, reliable pastor that is not gone very often, so I don't have to do this a lot. But if I did, you know, because I remember, let's see, Abby's 18. Abby turned 18, so 16 years ago, I was working a job. And I was working midnight shift, and I hated midnight shift. It takes a special kind of person to do midnight shift. Let me come down here because it feels weird to talk like this up here. So I'm not the kind of person that can handle midnight shift. Those of you that can, God bless you. I love you for doing what I can't do. But through a series of events, I got shoved to midnight shift because of seniority, all that jazz. So I got stuck on midnight shift at one point, and I hated every second of it because I was grumpy all the time, you know, because if you're, you know, a regular person, it doesn't feel natural to sleep during the day and to be awake all night long. So, and then, you know, like I said, Abby was two. No, it was the year Abby was born, so Brianna was two. Abby was a newborn. So we had two small kids. I was working midnight shift. My wife was working day shift. You know, I was just grumpy all the time because I was not meant to do midnight shift. But I remember one time that I was working. Of course, this was right after our lunch. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm running this machine. And I remember just point blank just asking God, say, God, is this really all you have for me? Is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? Because I felt like somewhere along the line I had got off track. And I ended up at this point where I was stuck on midnight shift, doing a job I hated, grumpy all the time. And I remember asking God, just honestly, God, you know, this wasn't some big formal prayer, you know, like, because, you know, when you pray, you're supposed to pray like in King James English and with the these and the thous, and you're supposed to quote scripture all the time, and this was none of it. It was just simply, I just simply asked God a question. God, is this it? Is this really all there is? And I remember He answered my question. And I remember being so surprised. You ask Him a question, you're surprised He answers it, right? It's weird. But it was just immediate. He's like, and He told me very clearly, He said, why should I give you anything else? You have to be faithful in this stuff in order for me to progress you along. And that was a tough pill for me to swallow. I'll be completely honest. It was tough. But now looking back, I'm glad that he did that. I'm glad that he was that direct with me. I'm glad that he was that clear with me. To some people it may have sounded harsh even, but that's what I needed at that time, to understand what he was trying to show me. So, I said, okay, I understand that I messed up somewhere. I got off track somewhere along the line. You know, and I repented right then and said, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. Show me what I need to do. Tell me what I need to do. What do I got to do to get this thing back on track and get back to doing what you need me to do? And then was the silence. Then was the crickets. There was no response then. It wasn't clear, direct, straightforward, do this, 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 this. It was nothing. So it took a lot of growth on my part for me to understand what he needed me to do. So I'm not really sure where I'm going with this, but as I look back, I can see now that God gave me stuff to do. And as long as I did what he gave me to do and didn't do things that he didn't give me to do, I stayed where I was supposed to be. So I want to encourage you, do what God has called you to do. Don't do what God has not called you to do. The hardest thing for people to say in church is no. That's especially once you start to really understand all that God has done for you, you start to understand the gratitude that we have. You want to do everything. But there are some things that he tells me, no, I can't do because he has somebody else he wants to do. Somebody else he wants to do that. So that is very hard. But I remember not real long, after that midnight shift conversation with God is when my pastor at the time asked me, what do you feel like God wants you to do? And I thought, I don't know. And I remember I heard the words come out of my mouth, but the words weren't in my head. But the words that came out says, I think God has called me to preach. And as soon as I heard that, I thought, oh, man. Because I thought, you know, a pastor's going to think that I want to pastor a church, or that I want to take their job, or that I want to be the center of attention and have everybody staring at him for an hour and a half every week. And I want to be the person that everybody runs to, and I want to be the person that everybody looks up to. And I think they're going to think that I want this because of to stroke my ego, or because I want to be a big shot. I want to be a big deal. When that was actually the last thing I wanted. I'm, you know, like I said, I sit in a cubicle and stare at spreadsheets all day. I don't need people to run to me. I don't want people to come to me. But when those words come out of my mouth, I thought, well, I guess this is it. I guess this is what he wants me to do. And pastor said, you know, I feel the same way. I feel the same thing for you. It's like, okay, I guess this is my calling. I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. And so I started trying to study and learn and teach myself everything I could learn about, you know, Bible study and theology, and, you know, because I needed to be educated, right? I needed to know how to find this stuff in the Bible. I needed to know how to answer people's questions. I needed to know how to make my three-point sermon with the illustration at the end and then the altar call. I needed to know how to do all of these things, right? So I started studying all this stuff. And because God's so gracious with my personality, like I've shared many times before, I'm not good at I feel comfortable doing this. I don't feel comfortable standing back there shaking hands, talking to people. You know, I do good talking to a group. I don't feel good talking to a single person. You laugh, but I mean, I'm being honest. I want to be better, but I'm not very good at it. That's why, you know, when we have, I'm not a door greeter, quote unquote door greeter, but I'll stand at this door so that way, if I mess up, they've already got their hand shook by somebody else. So it's okay if I mess it up, right? So I'm doing that. I'm trying to improve myself. Anyway, I said, God, I can't be one of those preachers that starts cold calling churches and say, hey, when can I come preach at your church? Or let's do a revival, or when can I come? I said, I can't do any of that, God. So he said, okay. He said, we'll make a deal. How wonderful is it when God's willing to make a deal with you, right? So God says, you don't have to ask anybody. But he said, the other side of that is, if somebody asks you, you can't say no. You know, I don't really know how I feel about the terms of this negotiation. Could we possibly look at this aspect of it and discuss this a little more? But then that's when I heard the crickets again. So it was pretty much a take it or leave it kind of deal. And as anybody that's ever dealt with negotiating, that's those are the kind of deals that you have to either take it or leave it, right? So I said, well, this prevents me from having to ask people. So, okay, I guess so. So that's what I'll tell you. So that's the deal that I have with God, is that I don't ask to preach, I don't ask to teach, I don't ask to do ministry like that. But if somebody asks me, as long as my schedule permits, you know, I'm not going to be out of town or something, I'm obligated by my relationship with Jesus, I'm obligated to say yes. Now, I hesitate to share this because some people, when they hear me say that this is my relationship with Him, what they hear is me telling them, this is how you're supposed to be. But the Bible's very clear. It says that each work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, right? So there are aspects of the Christian faith that are universal. Repentance is required of everybody. Salvation is for everybody. Holiness is expected of everybody, right? There's a lot of things that affect all of us the same in the body of Christ. But there are other aspects, what Pastor Eric a couple weeks ago was talking about, the gray areas. I think it was a Wednesday night, was talking about the gray areas. There are gray areas that are different between us, okay? So some of the gray areas where God has told me, you can't do this. This is not what I have for you. That's going to be different for me than it is for somebody else. And that's okay. Okay? One thing, let me give you an example. For me, God made it clear to me that secular music is not for me. Okay, as I was a teenager, I got saved at 16. So half of my teen years I was not saved, and half of them I was. And so music was a big deal to me as a teenager. So when I got saved, God showed me that as big of a deal as music was to me, it would be very easy for me to let it get in the wrong spot on my list of priorities. So, for my benefit, because of my personality, my upbringing, my how I grew up, it's better for me to stay away from secular music. Okay? Now, I don't say that to say you can't listen to secular music. Whether you do or not is between you and God. It's probably not very wise to spend too much time with it. Proverbs talks a lot about wisdom. Psalms talks a lot about music to the Lord. So I encourage you to have that conversation with God about you. But I'm not going to tell you that you can't, because God told me I can't. Okay? So that's one of those gray areas. Now, obviously, you know, like the commandments and stuff, those are pretty universal. Nobody gets a free pass for adultery. Nobody gets a free pass for murdering somebody. Oh, well, you know, murder's not a big deal to me, so God said it's okay for me to murder somebody. That's not the case, okay? Some of that stuff is pretty universal. So I can tell you that you can't murder people. You can't be a Christian and murder people, because murdering is not part of the Christian faith, okay? There's no love in murder, right? So that's one of those things that I can stand in, you know, stand up on Sunday morning and say, you shouldn't murder people, okay? But there are some other things where the more that I sit at His feet, the more He shows me these gray areas where I fall in these gray areas. Okay, there's aspects like the words you say. Some people can say some words, some people shouldn't say some words. He's going to show you that. The more time you sit at His feet, He'll show you the words you should say and the words you shouldn't say, right? The more you sit at His feet, He'll show you what music you should listen to, what music you should listen to, what movies you should watch, what movies you shouldn't watch, the people you should hang out with, the people you shouldn't hang out with, the clothes you should wear, the clothes you shouldn't wear. Those kinds of things you get through sitting at His feet and spending time with Him, right? That's why that is so important, because that is where we fill in the gaps of our faith, right? We fill in the gaps of our relationship with Him. So now that I'm done with my testimony, I'll come back up here. So I want to encourage you, as we close today, we have to serve. But we have to keep that service in balance with spending time with Him. So if you would stand with me, and if Stephanie would come to the piano. And Jesus was our ultimate example. He spent time with the Father, but He also served the Father. He spent time with the disciples, He served the disciples. We need to be like Jesus. We need to spend time with the Father. We need to serve the Father. We need to spend time with each other. We need to serve each other. So if you would, bow your heads with me this morning. And as we pray, I want you to be honest with God. And ask God, say, God, where am I at? Is my bicycle staying level, or am I too much to one side? Honestly ask God, say, God, am I serving enough, or am I serving too much? Am I sitting enough, or am I sitting too much? So, Father God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Father, Your Word says that if anybody lacks wisdom, let them ask of You, and You give generously, and You don't chastise or discipline people for asking. So, Father, we're asking You according to your word. We're asking you to show us if our bicycle is upright. Show us if we're keeping a proper balance between our serving of you and spending time with you. And Father, give us the courage to accept the answer you tell us. Give us the clearance of mind and the calmness of our flesh so that we can hear your voice tell us. And show us, Father God, the steps we need to take to bring our bicycle back upright. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you that you're going to show us. We're expecting to hear from you, Lord. So we're going to thank you right now for speaking to us. And Father God, if there's anybody here that feels like, you know what? My bicycle's been out of balance. I want to ask you to come forward. Whether if you're out of balance of serving too much or not serving enough. Come forward, we'll pray together. We'll get the balance back. But Father, your word is clear that salvation is the first step. That service is irrelevant without the salvation, without the relationship with you. So, Father God, if there's anybody here this morning that says, you know what? I've never served him because I don't know him. But hearing people talk about all the great things that Jesus has done. If there's people here, Lord, that don't know you, that want to know you, Lord, I pray that you tug at their heart, Lord. And Father, that they come forward and that we can get that relationship started, Lord. Because Father, the greatest gift that has ever been given was the gift of Jesus Christ to mankind. And Father, we want to share that gift with everybody, regardless of anything, Lord. We want to share that gift with each other. Father, show us, Lord. Show us what we need to do. Show us step by step, Lord. We're asking you, Father, to break it down as simple as you possibly can of what we should be doing and what we should not be doing. Show us how to spend time with you. Show us how to sit at your feet. Show us how to enjoy your presence, Lord. Show us the right way. Show us your way to spend time with you, Father. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for sending Jesus for us. We thank you for using us to be your hands and feet on the earth, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy to us, Lord. For when we get off track, when we get the bubble out of the middle, Lord, and we get off balance, we can always come back to you. We can always return to you and you'll restore balance to us. You'll always welcome us with open arms, Lord. You never chastise us. You're never displeased with us, Lord. But you're always desiring to help us, Father. Desiring to welcome us back. So thank you so much for that, Father God. Thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, Lord. And Father, we honor you today. We magnify you in this place, Lord. And Father, as we continue our Mother's Day festivities the rest of this day, Lord, I just pray, Father, that you show us where our mothers were serving us out of love for us. And Father, I pray that you help us to show gratitude to our mothers today for the sacrifice and the service that they have done for us. Father, we love you and we thank you, Father God, for who you are, for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.